Well, good morning. How many of you have ever purchased a piece of equipment, health equipment, that, well, you, or a membership to a gym or yoga classes or something like that, and they set dormant? You know, the piece of equipment that you thought you were going to use and employ just sat there and you're not using it. We did this a few years back, and we bought a Bowflex. Yeah, just like that. You know what these things become? You know what they become often? Great places to hang your clothes when you're needing to dry them, right? Some of you have a treadmill and an elliptical in the same position that Kathy and I were in. Well, we believed that if we used it, that we would actually probably become healthier. And that belief was not wrong at all. But if you do not engage in the exercise or the gym membership or the yoga classes that you signed up for, your belief doesn't mean anything, right? I mean, it just doesn't mean anything. You have to engage. So when we talk about engage this morning, this is what I mean. So we have a definition about it. Engage means this: to immerse, to join, to participate. Oftentimes we say we believe something. We often say we believe something, but my belief in that Bowflex sitting in the corner of our basement didn't do anything for me. Look at me. I mean, come on. I do run, but my strength is not like some of yours, right? I mean, it's like some of your treadmills and ellipticals and weight machines. They sit in the room, they sit in your garage, they catch dust, they become a great place to store things on, but they do not, your belief in what they were going to do for you, do not do anything for you. And this just points up the very, very fact that oftentimes people do not act on what they believe. They don't engage on what they believe in. And believing doesn't make the difference, right? I mean, we all agree that believing in something may be true, it may be valuable, but believing doesn't equate to acting on it or engaging in it. Engaging is what makes the difference. Engaging is what makes the difference in what we do in life. And, you know, have you ever been to the gym, ever gone out for a run or a bike ride or something along that line, and you had a bad attitude? Anybody been there? Yeah. Does it make a difference to do the exercise with a bad attitude or without a bad attitude to be healthier? Doesn't make a difference, does it? Now, it probably goes a little bit better if you have a better attitude about what you're doing. But the reality is you have to engage in the exercise to be able to get anything from it. You have to engage in it. And so it's engaging that makes the difference. How many of you have been in an exercise program, a gym membership, a walking program or something, and you have a partner outside of your own home, a partner outside your own home who keeps you accountable? Anybody ever done that? Does that work? Yeah, it's an incredible thing, right? So when you have a partner who is outside of your own home, because I'll tell you right now, it doesn't work with Kathy and I often. Now, she can entice me, but it doesn't motivate me, it doesn't pull me over the top. But if I know somebody is waiting for me at the gym, if I know somebody is, you know, on their bike or on their way over, like with their bike, I have to get my bike out and I have to go for a ride. There's an accountability that comes with that. And partners make a difference when it comes to exercise, right? The incredible thing is the same principles apply when we think about our journey with Jesus, as we think about following Jesus and walking with him. The same principle applies, right? Every Christian believes, in fact, I would say this, that most Christians around the world believe much the same things, right? They all believe the same things. But the incredible thing is that a lot of people believe, but a lot of people are not engaged in what they believe. See, the incredible thing is that believers can believe all day long, but it may not make a difference to who they are. Just as having a Bowflex set in your corner of your basement or out in your garage does not make any difference if you do not use it. You can believe all day long, but engaging is what makes the difference. And the incredible thing is that Jesus had a word for this. Jesus had an incredible word for those who believed and engaged. He called those people, those individuals, he called them followers. They actually did what he said to do. They actually become what he said to become. They begin to follow. And those disciples become followers. And so when you raise your hand to believe in Jesus, you have to engage in the practice of following Jesus in order to become really, can I just say it? To become a follower, to actuate the believing in your heart and in your life, to put it into practice. It is following Jesus that makes your life better. And it's following Jesus that makes you better at life. It is not believing in Jesus or about Jesus, but it's actually engaging in your belief that makes the difference. We address this topic a lot here, in a lot of different ways. But simply this is that believing and just believing by yourself in isolation will leave you isolated. In fact, one would even say that you probably, while you believe, you'll fall away. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But following Jesus and following Jesus in as he called us to do is a team sport. It's a we, not a me. It's a we. So when we talk about following Jesus and engaging in it, it is about a we and not just a me. In fact, the Apostle Paul, some of you may know who he was. He was an accuser of the brethren, as it says, accuser of those who are Christians. But then he switched teams. He had this radical conversion in Acts chapter 9. You can go ahead and read it. The radical conversion and an encounter with Jesus. And he became this person who began to plant churches all over the region. Some have even contended that he planted churches probably to make up for the very fact that he was an accuser of the brethren. I don't believe that that may be the case. But if that's the case, so be it. But he began to plant churches all over the region of the Middle East. And he was this huge planter. And the incredible thing is what we find in the letters and the writings of Paul and about Paul is that he also addressed this very issue. He wrote it in very obvious ways throughout Scripture that the living the life of Jesus is not just a belief, but it's a following, and it's a team sport. It's not a solo thing. It's a group activity, if you will. And so we see these all throughout his letters, these one another's that are scattered through almost every letter that he's ever written. I'm not going to give you a whole list of them. If you want those, you can send me an email. I'll give you the 59 one another's that I found in Scripture, but I'm going to give you a few of them. But there's a one another list in Scripture that we often refer to. And what Paul is referring to there is that we are called into community living. We're called to do this thing of the kingdom and with Jesus and following him. We're to do it together, not solo, not by ourselves, but we're called to do it together. In fact, this is a shortened list of those 59. He says to forgive one another, love one another, encourage one another, bear one another's burdens, honor one another, submit to one another, confess to one another. He has a whole list of these one another's. And the incredible thing, you would have to agree, you can't do that by yourself. You can't do that believing solo. But that we're called into a life and a community that we're to be together to do that, to follow Jesus. And he calls us into that. Paul would say that if you're a follower of Jesus and you did these things demonstrated, that you have engaged as a follower of Jesus and you're following him. Too much, you may say, well, wait a second, wait. I thought I was taught that the only thing I needed was to say yes to Jesus, pray by myself, read my Bible by myself, and I'm good by myself. And Paul would say, no. No, the very faith, the very Christ-following faith that you have said yes to is a community faith. It's one that's found with others and living it out in a way that is demonstrative, not only to those in your group, but to the world in which we have been called. And he would go so far to say that it needs to be lived that way. Some of us have been around the church long enough that we may have been taught that it was okay to just say yes to Jesus and go to our homes and pray by ourselves and to read our Bibles, which are all very, very good things. And we'll see that in a little bit. They're not bad things to do. But we're called to gather together with other believers to become followers of Jesus in a radical way. So there is this very real part of Christendom that you may have been raised in, and maybe you've heard about if you're looking in. And it's this idea that we've been, that if as long as we come to church on Sunday, and as long as we give generously, and as long as we pray, that God's good with us. It's called a really kind of a moral, kind of a vertical relationship with God. But what we see, and if you read Scripture long enough, and if you read through this summer, this last summer, the 90 days in the gospel, you will see that Jesus calls us to not of just a vertical relationship with him, but he calls us to a horizontal relationship to one another. In fact, we're to live in community with one another in order to live out the faith that he calls us into. There's no other way that can shine in the world in which we're called. And so we're to live it out amongst one another. In fact, if we live the vertical faith, and I don't know if this happens to you, but this can happen to me. I start to think that my way is the only way. I start to have self-righteous, selfish types of thoughts that go through my very being. I become arrogant. I become prideful when I'm by myself. And I'm thinking all by myself in my own little cubicle, in my own little thoughts. But when I get with others, we'll talk about it later. When I get to others, I realize that there's so much more to life. There's so much more in following Jesus. The vertical is very important. And the horizontal relationship we have with one another is very important. We'll get to that. But I want you to see in a letter or in the book of Hebrews, we call it a book or a letter of Hebrews. We're not even sure who the author is. We're not even, really not sure who that author is. But in chapter 10 of Hebrews, you'll find this passage where it is very quick. The writer of Hebrews goes from this vertical understanding of who God is, and he goes then to a horizontal relationship, and that they're interchangeable. They have to be dependent upon one another in order to be lived out in a vital, vital way. And they pivot back and forth. Check out this passage of Scripture. He says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. He's saying, let's have this, you need to have this vertical relationship, that there's no longer a priest anymore. There's no longer that, but you can draw near to God individually and intimately and personally. You can draw near to God. And let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled and cleansed us from guilty conscience and having our bodies washed pure with water. He is saying, hey, you need to have this individual, intimate, yes, I'm following Jesus, yes, I believe in Jesus relationship. But then he pivots immediately, whoever he, it could be a she, writing this. Let us hold unswervingly, let's hold tightly, let's not veer from the path that we're called to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. He or she is trying to tell us, look, we have to hold to this. Your relationship with God is vital and it's important, but he says, let us, he uses the word that's plural. He wants everybody to be in on it with you. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. He's advising us. He's leaning into us. Look, 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 look. Your relationship with God is your relationship with God. It's intimate and it's individual, yet it has this public persona. It has a private side, yours. You'll be judged one day, those type of things. But it has a very, very public side, and it's very, very important that you see this. He says, let us consider. Let's think about this. Let's continue to prod and poke and move ourselves towards love and good deeds. Have you ever seen spurs on boots? Somebody riding a bull? It's not a comfortable feeling. And oftentimes we get this idea that living the life of Jesus and being a follower is always this comfortable, feel-good type of thing. And sometimes there is this, and the interesting thing with this passage is not coming from God himself. He's saying, let's consider, the writer saying, let's consider how we may spur one another. Jab it into us. Let's stand up straight. Let's walk the path that God has called us to do. What does this mean practically? This means that you're in relationships so tight with people that with other people who are following Jesus that you have a son or a daughter who's kind of walking sideways to the faith, and you have other people in your life who are walking with you in the journey of Jesus, and they can see that son or they can see that daughter, and they have the ability to step in and say, whoa, son, daughter, what's happening? When you're walking so close with some other people that they are watching you and they sense an attitude that's just not right. It's not godly. It's unhealthy. Maybe in your marriage, maybe in you, maybe about your job, and they're able to go, hey, what's going on? What's behind all this? Can speak into it. That's what he's speaking about, is that when we walk so closely with one another, that we have this ability that family becomes family. They have the ability to speak into that. And he says, how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. He's leaning into this. This is a team sport. This is a task that you can't do alone. Gathering with others is so, so important. We need to be meeting with others. We need people to be engaged in the following of Jesus, and as Paul calls us to the journey, to live it out with all the one another's. The journey with Jesus commands and demands us to be in partnership, in community, in relationship with one another, so that they can see your life and they can see my life, and we can reflect the goodness and the love of Jesus to the world and to one another in a way that's wholesome and healthy. We cannot do this on our own. In fact, another way to say this, and I think Paul would partner with me in this, is that God has designed dependence between community and faithfulness. Between community and faithfulness. Our faithfulness is dependent upon this. Some of you already know this, right? Some of you already know. If we were to tell our stories of when we drifted from Jesus, it may have happened in one of these times, right? So we moved to a new town, a new location, and we just don't have the friends, and we can't find the right church that we want to go to. And so for a while, we're good, right? We're doing our devotions. Maybe we're praying. We're reading our Bibles at least a couple, three times a week. We're staying in that. But after a while, the drift, we just start drifting away. Maybe it's somebody said something that you didn't like, and you just started drifting away from church, right? And you then, when you started to drift away from church, you're like, I can do this Jesus thing on my own. I can do it on my own. But then you started to realize, if you take a healthy, honest reflection, you start to realize, I'm drifting from God. It's not just the church. It's not just those prickly people that may have offended me for whatever reason, but I'm drifting from God. It's an incredible thing that happens. And it happens over and over again because God has, I believe, designed a dependence between our community and our faithfulness to him. Can I go in a little bit deeper on why that may be the reason? There's a portion of the book of, or the Gospel of John, where Jesus is getting ready to leave, right? He's getting ready to be crucified, to walk to Jerusalem, and he's preparing his disciples. And he's laying this out, and as you would guess, and we would be in the same boat, they're a little confused. They're a little kind of like, okay, we hear what you're saying, but what you're saying is not computing. And along this lines, Philip kind of says, look, Jesus, can you just help us out here? Can you show us the Father? Right? He says, can you show us the Father? And Jesus responds, and some of you may be able to respond back with me with what Jesus says. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. This is an incredible statement for multiple reasons. One, if they were Pharisaical at all, they would have left the room, because it's blasphemy, by the way, because if you didn't believe that Jesus was God, then he was saying something. But it's an incredible statement for a whole other reason. For a whole other reason. So Jesus is crucified, he ascends, and he goes into heaven. And what is left? What is left? This motley crew of disciples who are left. They're just left there. And they band together. And a little bit later, Paul joins them, and he writes something about this thing that's left, this group of people who begin to declare Christ arisen from the dead, and that his resurrection did happen. And he says to the group of people left, he says to them, you are the body of Christ. He speaks into them and says, you are the body of Christ. Have you ever thought about this? That if we are the body of Christ, that we are the closest to God we will ever get. We are the closest to God that we'll ever get this side of heaven. Because Paul said, Christ stated, we are the body. It's an incredible statement. It's an incredible thought that we, as we live out the one another's, as we live out the faith, that we become the representative of God. So God has designed the community and the body. We know this, but maybe not so intimately did we think about it to represent him here on earth. That when you sit with me, I have the opportunity to sit with Christ amongst us as we practice the one another's, as we live out the faith and live out the kingdom with one another. So Jesus is saying to us, and Paul is emphasizing to us, that the way we treat one another is the way we relate and treat each other, that is the body of Christ. So when you isolate yourself from the gathering of people in community, in groups, you're isolating yourself not just from people. You're isolating yourself from God himself when you do that. Because he has declared that we are the body. And so when you say, I don't need to go to church, I don't need to be a part of a community group, I don't need, you are saying, I don't need to be part of God. And so when you have been in those situations where it's been hard to find a church, or you've moved to a new location, or something's happened, and you've drifted from church, and you've wondered, why in the world has my heart grown cool and maybe even cold to God? It is because God has designed community and faithfulness to interact together, because it's a representative of who he is here now. Jesus said this, I can be found where two or more are gathered together in my name. This is a big deal. If you abandon community, you abandon the one another's. Eventually, you abandon following Jesus. May I say that so strong? Because I think it's true. Following Jesus comes alive when we engage in community. It comes alive. Community is where you see faith and your journey with Jesus engaged. It's where you see yourself challenged to engage, where you're spurred along with one another. Isn't it true when you gather around a table of people you may know or may not even know, and you begin to just have a conversation? You know what happens? You begin to get to know them. And the very thoughts you had about them begin to kind of melt. In fact, sometimes when we tell each other, when we tell stories about ourselves, our journey, where we're at, we kind of go, oh, if I would have been in your shoes, I would have done the same exact thing. And then if we're engaged, we have compassion. We come around that with one another's, and we help and spur one another on with love and good deeds. We move people into community in such a way that it's a beautiful thing. But when we stand in isolation looking in, when we choose to separate ourselves from the body because of whatever, and we don't bear up under the one another's, we choose to step away from God himself in those places and spaces that he has provided for us. The journey with Jesus is meant to be made and practiced and engaged in community. We were never to do this solo. We were never to do this solo. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says this again, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some of you are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the approaching. I love the word encourage. Do you know it takes courage to just live every day? Some of you are thinking, you know, some higher platitudes, and that's great. But you know, it just takes courage to go to school every day if you're a teen or a student. Sometimes it just takes courage to go to work every day because work's tiring and it's draining. Sometimes it's just work to be a parent in certain seasons, and you need the encouragement. And so this word encourage is actually a group word. It's this idea that we can't get it on our own, that it comes through the body of Christ speaking into us. And so that we need that encouragement. It's not just how to spur one another on, but it's this idea that we bring the encouragement because we are the body of Christ, and we bring the courage that others don't have. We become the one another's that Paul writes about. As we follow Jesus, we say around here we're called to live out love. So my question to you is, have you been doing this journey on your own? Have you been trying to live the Jesus thing on your own? Have you felt isolated? Have you felt a staleness to your relationship with Christ? I've already asked you a few questions, but so the question is anyone spurring you on to follow Jesus? Is there anybody in your life who is kind of saying, hey, what is your next step with him? What is it that he's asking you to lean into, or what is it that he's having you do? We are called into that, and we're to engage in community to see the life of Jesus grow into us and through us to others. Here we not only gather on Sunday mornings, but we have the opportunity to gather in groups. And so community in group will help you to follow Jesus together. It's just as simple as that. Yet it's as hard as that for some of us, right? To engage in community means that you have to engage past some of those very things in our lives. Yet Jesus is with you to do that. So this morning, is anyone spurring you on in following Jesus? Is there anyone in your life? Or are you just meeting just to hear good things? There's several groups that you can choose from, and we encourage you to, in this new season of groups, to step into those group opportunities. Out on the table back there, we want you to do that. If you want to talk to one of us, we would love to be able to help you connect to a group so that you can be spurred on in following Jesus and engage in the life that he has called you to live. Let's pray. Father God, I am grateful for the community of followers who speak into my life, who spur me on, who encourage me. I'm grateful to hear stories, repeated stories over and over again of the community of faith who challenge one another to grow and engage with Jesus in deeper levels. Father, may you find in us a faithful bunch. And the faithfulness, I believe, and I think your word states clearly that our faithfulness is tied to our community engagement with one another relationally. Father, would you help us as we take steps of engagement with you? Friend, you may be here this morning and you have never taken a step to accept Jesus Christ, to follow Jesus, as we would say here, to follow Jesus. Well, this morning could be your morning. It's as simple as this prayer. I'm going to say it, and you can pray it if it is your prayer. Thank you, Father, for your grace found in and through Jesus. Save me and forgive me from my sins. I give you my life, and I choose to follow, love, and live for you. Help me to find faithfulness and community, Father, in Jesus' name. If that was your prayer this morning, I would love to be able to talk to you. I have a gift for you after the service that I want to give to you. Father, we're so grateful. We're so grateful for the gift that you have given us in Jesus, that we can engage in life abundant. And we thank you for your love that you have given to us. Amen.